too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Now greetings to the world. Gangster no live in a tenement yard, no. Good boy no live in a tenement yard. Too much watch you. Too much so. Them chatty.
Fuck all this pretty Sean Carter shit, nigga, hoe. Sean was on that gospel shit. I was on the total fucking opposite shit. Stuff $1 million in a sock drawer. That's a war chest in case you need your chest knocked off. Y'all be talking crazy under them IG pictures. So when you get the hell, you tell them Blanco sent you. I can't take no threats, I got a set of twins.
Oh, it's off landing 153. See, that's the one benefit. Not one of the benefits. The one benefit to this podcast is that you get some hot tracks. That's Jay-Z, Bam, featuring Damian Marley. I saw him on SNL over the weekend on a replay when Ryan Gosling was the host, and I said, that is the track for the opener this week. Back-to-back weeks for songs I like. Really good. By the way, Ryan Gosling hosting SNL, one of the funniest hosts in a long time, especially his sketch. You have to watch it when he lost his mind about the movie Avatar and how mad he was that it was just papyrus font. It was hilarious. I think it was a Lonely Island Andy Samberg sketch. By the way, on that thread, if you haven't seen on Hulu, Palm Springs with Andy Samberg, you think it's just this, you know, another farcical movie. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen. It is Groundhog Day meets The Game, meets Hot Tub Time Machine, meets Being John Malkovich in one. It is incredible. I can't even define the genre. Palm Springs, Hulu, supremely good. Really good. This week, hang on, let me take a drink of my pure La Croix seltzer. Drink about 14 of those a day. DraftKings contest is already out. It's already probably 2/3 full. Every week we do a DraftKings contest. $5, single entry, no rake, guaranteed money. What else is there? 300 people. And the winner gets to be on the podcast in a guest segment, including this week. So there you go. That is out. It fills very quickly. It's a very good payout. And in terms of DraftKings, we have another full weekend of golf ahead of us. And even though the trophy is reserved for the winner, the big cash prizes don't have to be. To add to the excitement, DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, no doubt. They should put that in every read. They should put no doubt the leader in daily fantasy sports is putting you in the center of the action with a free shot. I think Toe Tag and Tambo on Twitter put out pricing projections but forgot it was for the other competitor fantasy platform that's far inferior. And everyone was priced at like 11,000. And none of us could figure it out until we figured it out. But anyway, DraftKings is putting you in this. I don't know if DraftKings likes these interludes. I'm completely ADHD. Is putting you in the center of the action with a free shot at $1 million top prize with your first deposit. It's easy to play. Just pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off on Thursday. The last winner last week of this $1 million contest had one entry, $20 entry, and he won $1 million. You don't need to blow it up like all of us do. Sit back, follow the action. More red numbers they have in the leaderboard, the closer you are to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more, including streaks, including bogey-free rounds. including no missed cuts, Ben on. Even though you may not be able to hit the course, DraftKings is giving you the opportunity to scratch your competitive itch and reign supreme. Download DraftKings app now and use code GOLFLANDIA. During the sign-up, I needed a breath. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at $1 million top prize. That's code GOLFLANDIA, and you can get a free shot at $1 million top prize at DraftKings. A minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for all of the details. So this week, last week, absolutely the best, finish slash playoff I've seen in a long time. Hard to compare it to anything. But you had Hovland, Morikawa, JT, three of the best young players. I mean, JT's now considered old. He's 28. Shoot me in the brain. But he's now considered old. But three of the best young players in the world and absolutely going after each other. And Morikawa completely not backing down from anything. His drive on 14, absolutely all guts. Striping fairways all week, hitting to 6 feet. You know, he had to overcome some putting. But when you're hitting it that close all week, it's just, I mean, he was hitting it to exactly where him and his caddy were targeting in terms of distance. It's absurd. Hit it to 123. Okay. Hits it to 123 on the nose. And he was down three shots with four holes left. I mean, it was almost close to over when you're playing Justin Thomas, when he butchered the par five, Colin Morikawa. And one of the caddies on tour DM'd me, said, I told you JT would win. And I said, Colin's going to catch him. Sure enough. And one of the best playoffs I've ever seen. But you see how good Justin Thomas is. Why? Because he can putt. The most important thing you can do on this tour, what separates these players, is their ability to putt from within 10 feet, within 6 feet, consistently. Because what does it matter if you don't make them? If you can hit these approach shots for birdie within 6 feet but don't make the putt for par, it's as good as hitting it within 50 for a lot of these players. So if Justin Thomas is going to make two putts guaranteed within 50 feet or make the 50-footer, then you hitting it to 6 feet and putting twice has no difference. First day, Colin Morikawa was making everything within 6, 7 feet. Within 20 feet. He was getting 5 strokes putting. But his tee to green was absurd. So, little caution for Morikawa's putting because the Colonial, he missed that 18-incher when Berger won. But other than that, the guy's unbelievable. I hope you have a Morikawa JT next decade run battle between them. Morikawa's just ice water. Doesn't seem to faze him. He knows how good he is, and he's extremely gifted and bright. Well, great golf. I would have won $1 million about 1,000 times had Ben on missed the cut. Whatever. It is what it is. And of course, I tweeted that Ben On was going to shoot a 64 on Thursday. He shot not a 64. And of course, then the this did not age well tweets, old takes exposed tweets, stop tweeting, suck an egg. Someone told me to suck an egg and then go F a dog. That's how worked up I got people. It's all tongue in cheek, I hope. But if fantasy sports makes you that angry and tilted that you don't get the humor, then get out. Stop playing. Nothing I tweet requires any scrutiny or facts. I'm always playing the role Thursday through Sunday of obnoxious, hyperbolic, inconsistent, contradictory fan. Finau's the greatest. Next tweet, Finau's the worst. It's just part of the character. So, now, I'm not Slappy McJokester bad in terms of my content being, you know, trying to be funny, but it's trying to be. Speaking of Slappy McJokester, by the way, that was the name I gave people who are sharp and witty and reply with pithy comments to a lot of my tweets. Well, Putsweat now named himself Slappy McJokester, and he's taking this brand to new levels. Because he, on the weekend, on Sunday, claimed credit for the $1 million winner's success. He created an alternate account that said, hey, thanks Putsweat or Slappy McJokester for all your great picks behind the paywall. I'm paraphrasing. That's how I won $1 million. Of course, that never happened. But then Slappy McJokester gets 1,000 DMs from people asking him how they sign up for his spectacular picks that didn't win anyone $1 million. Fast forward to DraftKings calling him at his house saying, stop doing this. That character has gotten out of control. Funny though, right? Slappy McJoke, I think he gained 1,000 followers. The expectations now are going to be pretty high. Maybe there's a podcast coming. Slaplandia. He should just have a website that is a constant login to a 502 bad gateway. Like an endless loop. And he should constantly have site issues. That's my suggestion. If you really want to play this character up well. Speaking of issues, TV, a hot issue. And yes, I know you can find live coverage online. And I know there are contract issues with live television. I get that part. So, you know, people who have worked, work, are affiliated with, who are, you know, in constant defense of anything tour. I get the production level is extremely difficult. The switchovers, all of that. But from a 50,000 foot level, you should not have to search for live golf coverage. Some of the best live golf coverage you could ever have, both the final holes and the playoffs, from some of the best golfers on tour, young golfers, most exciting, most exhilarating. In this day and age, when you're the only sport, when there's no fans, you should not have to search for coverage online when it goes dark on live TV. It's difficult enough not having it, you know, pregame, or having it shut off, having to go to the app, and then the app goes dark because you're linking it from the PGAtourapp.com. We know how to get there eventually, but there's something about it being on live television that just has to be there. So whatever the reason is, I get that there is a reason, but with the ascension of golf as a dominant sport, and to have moments like this, which are extremely rare, in terms of a playoff of that caliber, with that caliber of player, when you have Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa swinging at each other and dropping 50 and 30-foot putts to extend the playoff, it's absurd that that is not on live television. Make it happen. It's PBR bull riding. That can be preempted. Something needs to happen. There needs to be a steady stream on live. I get the subscription model and the ad revenue that comes with that by people signing up for PGA Tour Live. I get all the money side of it. But much like now that there's ads, which I've talked about for 10 years, it seems, on the green at the Travelers or the Workday, excuse me, when Jordan Spieth's putting, there's ads embellished now on the green, superimposed. There are different ways for revenue opportunities that don't diminish the brand or the PGA Tour's, you know, ascension here as a leading sport into the, you know, this next decade by having people search out and miss live opportunities to watch great golf. Just somehow make it happen. I've got 1,300 channels on cable. I don't watch 1,299 of them. Why can't one channel just be dedicated to PGA Spillover? It's always live. I know there's a deeper financial business reason for this, but to me, none of it makes sense from a brand development standpoint. I who have watched every tournament for the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years religiously and pay for PGA Tour Live should not have to go to PGA Tour Live and it says ended coverage and then go to the app to look for more coverage and there's no links and then have to go to Twitter and find a link for it and it's CBS Sports and then go to CBS Sports and watch the same FedEx ad 400 times in a row. That should not happen. That's just a terribly set up model. And again, I get the business reasons behind it, but logically, it makes no sense for the development of this brand. Because some people, 10 people, 50 people, 1,000 new golf fans, missed it. I guarantee you they couldn't find it on live television. They missed it. So that's a capture opportunity that's gone. And it's just not good business. I would be furious. I'd be livid if I was running any of these tours or responsible for it, that live television didn't cover that moment. And I know they were trying to avoid weather, but listen, what's competing with it is PBR bull riding. I guarantee you can bump that out and no one's going to be pissed off. Or have a spillover channel or something. But don't have people hunt down live coverage on television. And the people who are affiliated with the networks who get pissed off and say, well, it's live. You never have cut live coverage. You just have to go online and find it. I get that point. And I know we can do it. It was still difficult for us. But there's still 1,000 new fans who don't know that shit and shouldn't have to search on Twitter for a link to find it. It should just be on TV. It should just be on television. I promise you'll get ratings. All of us are doing our part to grow this industry. We are the eyeballs that religiously watch Thursday through Sunday coverage and more and have for a long time and buy the subscription and buy the app and use ShotLink, all of it, and waste a lot of money on fantasy sports and lose. We're the ones doing it. So maybe some recognition of that would be great. If I was running it, I would lose my shit if that coverage was not live on television or had a link on the PGA Tour Live app. Or if I went to the PGA Tour NBC app and it said the PGA coverage had ended. Because that rules out 60% of people who then know how to find the coverage. You want to debate me on it? Let's go. Let's go. And don't go on Twitter then and say, stop whining. Stop whining about coverage. It's available. That's not my point. I'm not talking about me. And it was difficult for me. Did I hit the desk enough? Because I speak for a lot of us. And I know what I'm talking about here. Most of the time I don't. That time I do. The other strange thing is the milkshake aspect. And maybe this is a poor, maybe this is a take that I just set up to get burned. But I said, I'm sorry, because the milkshake is part of the mystique and the tradition of Muirfield, right? Apparently the milkshakes are incredible. My kids would love it. But I said, milk in any format, including shake, is repulsive. To me, at least. I mean, if I'm golfing in 100 degrees, and I've been golfing for 48 straight hours, it seems, for four straight days, and I've wanted a playoff after playing a trillion holes, and I've lost 7 pounds of water weight, the last thing I want is milk. Strawberry milk. I'm sorry. Because if I get a cup of strawberry milk after all that heat, intensity, walking, golf, lack of food, Jack, nice to meet you, but this milkshake's coming back up. Blech. It's not 1941 to me. Maybe because I have to eat like 70 famotidines a day. Generic Pepsid. I just don't get the milkshake thing. Hey, congrats on the win. On the win. I know you've been golfing on a long time. Here's the trophy. And here's some microwave sauerkraut. And a scoop of baked beans. Enjoy. Blech. And then Nelson Adcock. One of the slappy McJokesters. One of the sharpie McJokesters. Never trust a man who doesn't drink a milkshake. What does that mean? What is, they got 13 likes. God, some American milkshake truthers. I bet you also like hot dog eating contests. You absolute weirdos. Just give me a cup of water or a Dasani lime seltzer, sparkling water, the elite drink of champions. That's the tournament I would be sponsored by. Is Dasani sparkling lime. All right, quickly, some questions. I went a little long in my rant about TV, but it kind of made me angry, especially with the people saying, just quit whining about finding coverage. In fact, I can't get to questions today. Let's just go to DraftKings winner. And then let's talk to Ryan. All right. Sorry, some of you had good questions, but we'll save it for next week. Okay, cool. All right, we're with Matt Barham, last week's winner of the DraftKings contest. Damn it, I should have released this week's contest, and I have not. I am such a simp. Matt is from Harrogate, England. Hi, Matt.
Hello. How are you?
I don't know if you're our first overseas winner.
I was going to ask that if it's the you've gone international, but all the ones I've listened to, I've not heard anyone international come on and talk to you.
Do you feel like your accent is so much better than mine?
No, the other way around, and I'm trying to not talk differently to how I talk normally. You know, the temptation is to try and talk a bit more like you are doing. So.
No, don't do that.
Okay.
You destroyed last week. Did you win anything bigger than the Golflandia contest?
Yeah, I did all right. It wasn't a huge week. I would have done a lot better had Morikawa not hold. Or he got his 20 odd foot put on that the first playoff hole when JT sunk. I didn't have either of them in my team, but I was in a few other leagues where the guys above me had Morikawa, so I needed JT to win to take those below me. But no, it was an okay week. I played just to get six out of six with the cut. It's been a while, so yeah. And now I'm thinking.
Do you play regularly?
I do, yeah, fairly. I'm trying to build the bankroll up. I stick mainly to listener leagues. I do yours, do Mayo's. I won Mayo's actually earlier in the year.
Good for you.
And I'm trying to win the Nagels Bagels one. I know he's been on your pod previously, but yeah, trying very hard to win his elusive one. But that's a winner takes all at the top, so a bit trickier. And I would have won. Oh, he's amazing, yeah. Yeah, he's great. Great. The last stop on the week of research is getting up early on Thursday morning, because it's a bit late to watch him live, so I tend to watch him on a Thursday morning just to see where his head's at. But yeah,
I need to have another conversation with him, because I'm sort of breaking into him as a human being. We talked about his job, his career, his hate of being a mailman.
He wasn't far behind. He finished like fourth or fifth, didn't he, this week? So he wasn't too far from being back on.
No, he wasn't. Let me get my notes up here. You work for a bank. Shocker, someone who works in the financial industry wins again. Even overseas, this works, right?
Yeah. I'm not very analytical, though, so it's not that type of I don't really work on the numbers side, so it's slightly different.
What do you said you look after customer journeys. Describe that to me.
Yeah, so we're working in the insurance part of the bank, home insurance particularly. So it's looking after for existing customers when they get to the point where they have to think about renewing the policy, making sure that the way we talk to them, they're clear on what options are available to them. We're not stiffing them with price by loading the price too much. Just making sure it's an optimal journey from a customer's point of view as well as a commercial one. So I'm trying to make it sound way more interesting than it actually is. But yeah, it's working for a bank, but nothing to do with any of the what you think the day-to-day trade and stuff.
That's the future of big business, right? There's so many jobs wiped out by COVID. In my opinion, the future wave of employment is going to be the best customer service, period. And a lot of these jobs that have been lost during this crisis, I believe, are moving into more customer service for the behemoths, Amazon, you know, E-Trade, TD Ameritrade, not Robinhood, they suck. But for banks, and especially, it's going to be how does the relationship with my bank, et cetera, work, and how good does it make me feel? And so people like you who are smart, dedicated, and can help people through issues like this, I think it's important reality. I think it's the next wave of business.
I couldn't agree more. And the good thing is, I think the bank I work for, that definitely has been the strategy for a good while now, you know, long before COVID. So, yeah, the people at the top have definitely think that way, which is good for us when we're a bit close to the customers.
Let me ask you this. Have you given any thought to this week based on the field improving drastically, but also the course? I mean, listen, you can't change the routing of this course or the fact that there's water or risk reward. You can't stop wind. So it's not going to, I mean, the course is difficult in general. It'll just speed up and firm up, hopefully. Have you given thought to this week in the field?
I have a little bit, yeah. And obviously, I've had a look at the pricing since it's come out, which is extremely soft, got a major feel like, hasn't it, in terms of the way the players are priced. I'm eliminating.
How do you rate soft pricing? What do you mean by that?
Well, as in, it's pick who you want, really. If you look at the example being like Adam Hadwin, mid eights that last week, he's like, I think he's about 7.4, is it this week? So, as an example, I'm amazed that the likes of Cantlay are under 10.
That surprises me.
I'm eliminating the ones who lived through the putter last week, and whether that's the right thing to do or not, I'm not sure. So Poulter, for instance, who I had in the team, so it was great for me. But he, I mean, God, his putting was incredible, and with the greens being a lot faster, probably might shy away from those guys. Maybe look at the guys who struggled with the putter last week, the likes of Brendan Steele. So I don't think it's just. I've got no feel at this point in terms of where the masses are going to go. There's some big tournaments, so I think there'll be a fair few casuals playing this week. So Rory, Tiger, those guys will probably get a fair bit of ownership. So then does that mean the likes of DJ, Xander fall through the cracks a bit? I don't know. But in terms of the course feel, I'm just going to go look at exactly the same stats as last week and then see the guys who who are coming in, who didn't play last week, but who are coming in some form. Your Burgers and your Answers, those types.
Where are you in terms of, because if you have someone 10-5 and above, according to my model, they have to win in your pricing. Or if you're even 10, you know, high nines, you've got to finish top three. The guys that are going to allow you to make up for any mistakes on top are the low price guys who can finish well. Anyone in the sixes or deep that you like?
I think the deepest, I had Ortiz last week and he scraped through. So I don't think I'm willing to go that low again.
So did I.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I was hoping he'd turn up on Sunday, but he didn't. I think the one I like, and I think he's at straight seven, so I don't know if I want to see if he's absolutely deep, is Danny Willett.
Love it.
Yeah, so I've got a feeling for him this week. Norlander's down there again, but you know when you think he could be the sort of player is riding a bit of a bubble, and is he going to last another week? So I probably won't go all the way up to Bryson, and we'll probably start sort of either the low tens, high nines in the way I build, and I only do 1 to 3 teams most week, and therefore I probably shouldn't need to go too much lower than the sort of the low sevens. But we'll see. It's obviously Monday, so by Thursday morning, when Nagels is talking through his stuff, I might have a different feel for it.
Anyone you're completely eliminating?
Morikawa, which I know. I think that'll be a popular thing because it's the whole, you know, can someone win twice? Hovland as well, actually, and I really wanted Hovland to win last week, and I think there's obviously he's knocking on the door, but he's playing week in, week out, isn't he? And it just felt like he faded a bit towards the end on Sunday.
It was like Mark Hubbard from Detroit. He just seemed tired.
yeah, exactly. Even looked last couple of holes, he did look a bit tired. I don't know. I never play the likes of Rahm to the point you made before around, you know, that he's the sort who, when you play him, you need him to win. You don't this week. I think Brooks will get a bit of steam. I know you like him from your tweets. I'm staying well away. Yes, I know he finished his round on Friday well, but I'm not. I think he'll end up being quite popular with that narrative of he finished well and signed up. So, yeah, I'm staying away from Brooks.
Let me ask you this. Where's Tommy Fleetwood?
It wasn't this tournament. It was the Detroit tournament last week. He was actually Sky Sports cut to him. He's on his way over. So he's on his way over, and I think he'll probably be over there now, doing his 2 to 3 week isolation period. I can't remember which tournament he said he was going to start. He'd be appearing first at. But Sky Sports did come up with a graphic, and I was surprised it wasn't Memorial. I think it might be the 3M, or maybe the one after that.
He not be like the? He would just be perfect for this course.
You think, wouldn't you? Yeah. It's he did talk in the interviewer asked him about Rory's comments. You know, about any golfer would, who cares about the profession, would should be overplaying, and he seemed quite hurt on camera. He said, you know, Rory's entitled to his opinion.
Really?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he said I'll talk to him about it when I see him. But you know, he's entitled to his opinion. But I've done what's best for my family and stuff. So. And I'm surprised Hatton's not playing more. He's obviously played really well when we've seen him, but he's another one who I thought would maybe skip last week, but turn up for the Memorial. But yeah,
Hatton, a very underrated ball striker. I don't know anyone who hits it as straight as him, like 0 degrees offline. And then of course he's a great putter.
Yeah, feels like he's taken the leap, doesn't it? Certainly since he's come back this season, every tournament is in the mix.
He's always gotten in his own way with, you know, his emotions, but he seems to have gotten those in check.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, big fan.
So who wins this week, Matthew?
On the spot. I'm going to say DJ. He feels like the sort that when he starts playing well, he keeps going, and he feels like he's obviously out of the rut. I'll go DJ.
I love it. Thanks for staying up late. I really appreciate it.
No, not at all. Thank you for having me. Pleasure.
And I'm sorry to anyone overseas who's won this contest that we just forget one. And there's probably one, but we'll just say, Matt, you're the first. Matt,
oh, well. I'll take that. I'm very pleased to be that one.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks a lot. Cash take you on the natural
joint. Cream, get the money. Tiger Woods, y'all.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Matthew.
Let's do it.
Round two of Memorial. It cannot be worse than round one, so.
Worse in what regard?
I don't even know how to answer that. I think half of my player pool missed the cut. My highest owned player missed the cut. My bets lost. My DraftKings lost. My Euro lost. My Korn Ferry lost.
Who was your biggest disappointment at the workday? Huh?
Brooks, for sure.
For sure.
Brooks was my highest owned, and he was the only guy that I bet outright. So, yeah, Brooks was the biggest one.
Rose, and you still want to play him this week, don't you?
No, that was Saul. Saul Goodman, 23, if you guys want to scoop the head-to-heads. Yes.
Well, here's what I learned, or what we know about this course, that even when they tried to make it easy, you can't change routing, you can't dry up the water, and you can't prevent wind. And you can't remove trees.
You actually can dry up the water.
Well, with what?
I don't know. Squeegees? Sunshine?
No. The water around the holes, Ryan? Like the rivers and the ponds?
Yes. I thought you meant the
No. Rain. No, not the rain, you dope. I'm talking about the actual water features in the on the course. Of course, yes, you can dry up water. But it's a very challenging course, and the idea that approach isn't the most important thing is foolish. It's a second shot course, and it's very difficult, as I said in my continued notes on Twitter, it's very difficult to scramble. It's too difficult around the green to scramble for par consistently, as we saw from players.
That was, yeah. I mean, that was brutal. I expect it to be as bad, if not worse, this week because they're just going to let the rough grow out. But, I mean, how many times were your guys having chips that looked pretty easy and they couldn't get them within, what, 20 feet, 25 feet?
Well, even look at master ball striker Hovland. And he lucked out. What's the par three? 13?
12.
12. He lucked out with those two, that one chili dip and then the chip in for par.
He had at least two chip ins this week, right? Maybe more.
Yeah. And then he went for it on 14. I don't know why. And it's just not a course. There's some risk reward, but you better be pretty good around the green to do that. And it's just challenging in general. So it's an elite iron players course. And then you're augmented by elite putting like Ian Poulter. Is there any way that Ian Poulter can drain that many feet of putts for 4 days again? I mean, he's an amazing putter, but still,
no.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was bad. No interest in Poulter this week. I think he even made like a 3-footer on the last hole for birdie. So,
and let me clarify again, the water I meant, Ryan, were the ponds and rivers.
I can confirm you cannot dry those up. No.
Okay, there you go. I know they'll be talking about that in the morning. Okay, Mike Miller's notes for the Memorial again. Let's see what he's added. Memorial, Muirfield Village Golf, Dublin, Ohio. By the way, I saw a biopic on Muirfield Village. Do you know that Jack Nicklaus almost went broke making this course? He put he was 100% backing it himself.
Yeah. They call it the house that Jack built. I guess that's why.
Yeah, but I guess it caused a lot of stress because he almost ran out of money. 20 miles drive north of Columbus, Jack Nicklaus and Desmond Muirhead design, but mostly Jack Nicklaus. Par 72, 7,400 yards. That's very long. Not as long as Valhalla, by the way. They said that
fairways are firm too, so.
Yeah, they said that the closest course, PGA course, to Justin Thomas being from Louisville, Kentucky, is Muirfield Village. That's incorrect. It is Champions Trace for the Barbasol, first of all. Second of all, if you wanted to count Valhalla, which has been played in several majors and the Ryder Cup, you can count that too. Another Jack Nicklaus design. I digress. Undulating, yeah. Pristine, challenging tree-lined parklands. A lot of bunkers, as we saw. A lot of water hazards, which you cannot dry up in play on 11 holes, strong rough. Bent grass, POA, average width, fairways. New bunkers added on 6, 7, 10, 11, 13, 18, and Faldo was lobbying for multiple more. The rough is only going to get thicker than it was last week. The greens are only going to get faster. And even the slow greens, even on Thursday, were pretty quick. Par 4 scoring, scrambling, precision shot makers, I totally agree. What are we thinking, Ryan?
I agree, yeah. There was a lot of talk about greens being slow and stuff like that. They were not slow. Those things were greasy. And they're just going to get worse, like you mentioned. And I think they're going to find some other hole locations that they didn't use this week. Some corners, some ridges and stuff like that. I think it's going to play harder. I think it's going to play firmer. Even the fairways were running out. The greens were pretty firm last week. We saw a lot of shots bounce mid to back of the greens, bounce over the greens. I think you're going to see that again. I think you mentioned ball striking being at an absolute premium, and I think you're not necessarily going to see the Bombers have a huge advantage this week.
No, I totally agree. I'm not sure they had an advantage last week. In fact, a lot of players that we liked for ball striking, like the always play Hubbards, I felt there was a lot of fatigue. Didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, specifically guys like Mark Hubbard, he was obviously playing way above his baseline, way above expectation. And you have to look at the guys who have played, what, 4 or 5, now even 6 weeks in a row, and say, okay, it might be time to back off a little bit. One thing that, I mean, I always look at in these sort of situations is just the jump in the quality of field, right? I mean, we had a lot of guys in the sevens last week that we had interest in, you know, if it's a Keegan Bradley or Brendan Steele or kind of those sorts of guys. Okay, well, now they're the same price in this field. No, hard pass.
All right, so this week, the field is one of the best you can ask for the PGA Tour. It's major worthy. So Jack really can get a lot of the players he wants out there to his course. Albeit, where's Tommy Fleetwood, right? You think that this is just ideal for him.
He's quarantining with the family.
Right. Last week, if we look at top tee to green 4 days, all 4 days, not surprising again, it's like 6 weeks in a row, Hovland, and then Thomas Morikawa, Bradley, Matsuyama. Approach, all 4 days, Bradley, Morikawa, Pan, Thomas, Merritt. These are guys in the field this week. Tee to green Sunday, which is one of these guys, is actually very interesting. Tee to green Sunday, Rahm, big time. Morikawa, Cantlay, Connors, Pan. And then approach, Morikawa, Cantlay, Rahm, Neiman, Bradley. So, in the model, Ryan, heavily weighted approach, heavily weighted bogey avoidance, scrambling, birdies are better, tee to green, around the green, just your standard really good PGA Tour stats. It sped out, not surprisingly, 1 to 10 for that model. Not necessarily that I agree with it. Thomas, McIlroy, Webb, Cantlay, Hideki, Bryson, Xander, Berger, Morikawa, answer. Your thoughts?
It's a strong list. Yeah, it's kind of same shit, different week, right? With the kind of the same guys leading approach, same guys leading tee to green. I think I think this will be one of the rare weeks where I do look at short game a little more than normal, just because you know that you need to scramble here, mostly for par, but sometimes for birdie. And I just, I played a lot of Corey Connors last week, kind of guys like that. And it's just frustrating. Keegan, for example, I mean, if they miss a green, it's a bogey, if not a double, just because they can't keep a chip on the green. I don't want much of that this week. So I think number one, yes, I'm going to be weighing strokes gained approach, strokes gained tee to green most. I'm going to be looking at the recent form since the restart very, very closely. I'll look at last week pretty closely, but I am going to weigh short game a little bit. So that tweaks my model a little bit from yours. Unfortunately, it puts Bryson and Daniel Berger 1-2. So
right.
It's not good for me. So yeah, it has Bryson and Berger up there. Then Hovland, Cantlay, Anser, Rahm, JT, Xander, Rory, Hadwin.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels good. It's just like the guys that I want are a little bit lower than those top guys. You know, I think just I'm going to manually probably bump JT above Bryson. I'm going to manually bump everybody above Daniel Berger. But yeah, I mean, I expect 3 to 5 of these top 10 to be in contention on Sunday.
But everything comes down to price. This is all price action, right? So in many of these instances, even though a player may do well, they have to do a certain standard. And they have to meet a bar based on the value and the price that you have to pay for them. So 6,000s have a lot more room for upside. 11,000s, you basically have to win, right? And so is Bryson someone, and even though he was really good in Detroit, it was Detroit, a much different field, bomb and gouge. And he still wasn't completely dialed in with his wedges, right?
Yeah, and I think the rough was much more forgiving there than it's going to be here. I mean, that is still a tricky Ross design. It just wasn't quite as gnarly and thick and wet as it's going to be here.
Right. So for me, there are certain people in this new, revised, absolutely scientifically driven model TM that I have developed that I'm just cannot play because of price. So whether I have figured those players out yet is to be determined. My eyeballs say these five players can win. Rory, Brooks, Tiger, Patrick Cantlay, and Colin Morikawa. And why Morikawa? Because in the heat of the moment and the most pressure-driven time, he still was absolutely untouchable with his iron game. Unflappable, and he beat the best or one of the best players in the world.
Yes. What makes you think Justin Thomas can't win here?
Well, I do think he can win. However, I just felt that he putt really, really well, especially in the playoff and down the stretch. And I feel that the field is tougher. And I feel like Justin Thomas can make a few more mistakes than some of these more buttoned up types. Rory, for instance, Cantlay, Morikawa, in my opinion. I just feel like at 11,000, 10,900, Justin Thomas has got to win. I feel like there is a setback mentally last week from those two really attacking him early on, him coming back, and then Morikawa. I mean, Justin Thomas was up by 3 with 4 holes to go, Ryan. It was absurd.
Yeah, and he hit a decent shot on 16 as well. That was kind of an unlucky bogey. And yeah, he struggled off the tee on 18 for sure. That was strange to see. Yeah, you know, he's a tough one because with JT, he's typically pretty consistent week to week. He obviously has ridiculous upside, probably the most upside in the entire field in terms of, you know, when he gets hot, he can birdie a lot of holes in a row. He also tends to carry form over. He doesn't just pop randomly. He kind of goes through these, I guess, extended stretches where he's very, very good. And I feel like he's in one of those now. Even the miscut at the Travelers, you know, the irons have been really good. The putting has been really good. I just don't think I can get away from him. You mentioned the price and that he has to win. I think the pricing's soft enough this week that like you can easily put him with a Rory or a Bryson. And if they finish 1-2 or 1-3 in either order, I think you have some chances because, yeah, they definitely put some soft pricing out, like it's a major or something.
Yeah, that's what you'd think. But I don't know if it's going to – I don't think he's going to finish one. I don't think he's going to finish a top two, in my opinion. I think that Patrick Cantlay is probably going to be, what, 60% owned at that price? I'm surprised they left him at 9,800.
Yeah, I mean, he got – yeah, he was super popular last week. Finally, it was bad for a while. And then just the old Sunday, 65 to triple the ownership.
So here's my guys in the ranges right now that I like. Tens, I love Rory. I think I just think that Rory, this is an idea. I mean, Rory, obviously one of the best drivers of the ball, iron players in the world, if not the best. Putting has always been his weakness, but I just feel like Rory always – I think Rory is just going to show up in this field. Nines, Brooks and Tiger – I can't believe Tiger's price. I can't believe Brooks's price. I can't believe Brooks is 25-1 on the books. Same with Tiger. I absolutely loaded up on Brooks at that price. I know that he missed the cut, but had he made the cut, I think he would have pulled a Gary and gone 15-under on the weekend. I just feel like he was loading up, much like Rahm was on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played very well down the stretch. I mean, yes, he made some putts and stuff like that. But like I said last week, when I'm on a guy, when I'm all in on a guy and he has one bad week, and in this case, missed the cut by a shot, going to the same golf course, like why am I not going to like him again at a lower price and better odds?
In the eights, there's not a lot I like. In fact, I may skip this entire category. Gary and Ricky, but Gary was making some bombs. I mean, he was making everything plus chipping in. It wasn't the best ball striking performance for him, and you don't normally typically see him putt really well. I don't love the eights because you actually have to expect a lot from that price range, and I think I'll jump down to the sevens unless you see something in the eights you like. I mean, Berger's what, 87? That means what, top five?
Yeah, I mean, I see one that I like there. I mean, the model answer would probably be mine. Woodland is good, but I think he's a little bit overpriced and obviously going to be popular off of last week. Berger, as I mentioned, model loves Berger. I think he's going to be owned, so I also think he's a little expensive. And then you have Fowler and Rose. I mean, not much interest in them. I would say, based on the price, again, both of them might be over-owned. Rose, maybe not, because he was so bad. He shot, what, 80 on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
But no, if you drop below that, I think that's where you're going to see a lot of ownership. You're going to see ownership on Day, Kuchar, Neiman, Casey, Garcia, Leishman. Like, that's the range people are going to go. So I guess, in theory, if you want to play one or two of these 82, 8500 guys, you could be a little bit different.
Yes, because the sevens and the sixes offer you, they don't have to hit that high bar, but they can make up the difference in case some of your guys up top do not reach expectations. In the sevens, I mean, has there been many people playing as well as Lucas Glover for his price? No. Billy Horschel put his brains out last week. I know he killed you in showdowns, right?
Just in general. But yeah, this is the same range that we saw last week when, I mean, Poulter was there, Horschel was there, Lowry was there, Rory Sabatini was there, all in the low sevens. And we said a couple of these guys are going to go off. It turns out all of them went off. Rory, Poulter, Horschel, Lowry faded a bit, but it's the same thing this week, except you have even more to choose from.
Right. I think that in the sixes, there's a ton. I'll name two. Stricker at 6,000 is very surprising for me. I thought he'd be minimum 65, right?
Yes.
Because that implies what, a top 30, top 25? And I think that, you know, if you look at course history here, recent course history goes Cantlay, Rose, Kuchar, Matsuyama, Bryson, Bo Van Pelt, Grillo on, and I think Stricker. And he played really well last week. I think it was top 40-ish, but out of a $6,000 play, I mean, what else can you expect?
Yeah, he makes birdies too. Stricker surprisingly makes birdies because he hits so many fairways and greens, and he's a good putter.
Yes.
He's going to make bogeys pretty much any time he misses a fairway here. It's going to be a bogey, but, you know, he only misses one or two each round, so.
But that's the thing with what we've learned over the years is that the ability to putt within 10 feet and 6 feet even to make par or birdie is the difference, especially in a course like this. Because you look at the third playoff hole with even JT, tree fucked, right?
Yeah.
Shooting, he's laying two in the fairway. Three, he's about 30 feet out. He can make that putt for 30 feet for par. Morikawa 6 feet out for birdie. But you know that Morikawa has kind of got the yips with putting, even from 18 inches because of what happened. What tournament was it that he blew it in the playoff?
That was Colonial.
At Colonial. So if you can't make those putts, and Morikawa, it's the one thing he needs to really get through, because those immaculate approach shots are going to be meaningless unless he can make those putts within 10 feet. And you know that Justin Thomas is going to make a high volume of them. You know that Tiger Woods is going to make a high volume of them. Same with Brooks Koepka. Same with a Rahm. Same with all the world top 10, top five.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at this pricing again, you know, just going kind of down through those mid-tier values that I think will be very popular. So if you start at 8,000 and you click Kuchar, so Matt Kuchar, obviously going to be popular, Paul Casey, Sergio, Mark Leishman, Adam Hadwin, all guys who basically we like this week or we liked last week. Those five guys, Kuchar, Casey, Sergio, Hadwin, Leishman, if you put them on a team, you still can get Bryson DeChambeau. So I think there's a lot of ways you can go. Like when pricing is this soft, you can do that and just stack your team balanced and get Bryson. Or a lot of people are going to stack Bryson with another stud. So
yeah, but all those guys you mentioned, Sergio, Casey, Leishman, Hadwin, have to finish basically in the top 10.
Yeah.
And Hadwin is very frustrating. I mean, he was, what, 30th, 40th last week? Leishman was abysmal. Yeah. Does that just happen? I mean, so you can have more of that ranginess from guys who are in the cheaper 6,000s who have a floor of like top 20 and then the ability to have a top 10 possibly. But I just don't see it. I don't see Paul Casey coming in here having a top 10. I don't think Leishman coming back from that performance last week and having a top 10. Hadwin, you know, he's just not as polished approach or even as elite of a putter as he has been to do it. Look at Adam Long. Adam Long drove me bananas Ortiz, Connors. Connors may be one of the worst putters on tour.
Yeah, and then you think about those guys that obviously we had a lot of them last week, and now they're going to do the same thing in a field
in a tougher that's three field. Times as
strong. Yeah, just not a lot of interest. But no, I mean, that team that I mentioned, I mean, that will not, cannot, and should not win a millionaire maker. I don't play that, obviously. You know, I'm thinking of like the big single entry, the 5-5-5, where, you know, I tend to take a cash lineup and then I pivot either two or three spots just based on kind of ownership. So, but I think for this week, you know, everybody is going to stack either two studs or one stud two 9K guys. Like, yeah, I mean, you're going to see a lot of like Bryson, Cantlay, Brooks teams or something, right? Or Tiger, I guess, for that matter. And they'll take two from the sevens and one from the six, which again, it could work. It's a strong field. But does a team like that have a lot of upside more than taking like three guys from the nines, one guy from the eights, and two guys from the sevens?
Let me give you the three bets I did. And these may be the only ones pre-tournament I've done. Brooks, 25-1. Hammered it. Yeah. I probably should do Tiger at 25-1, but he won't be there right now.
No.
Brendan Todd, because 150, and then Danny Willett, 150.
Brendan Todd.
How could you not?
Brendan Todd. I think
Brendan Toad.
I mean, field strength for sure. Yeah, we obviously have two overlap there. Brooks was on the card last week at 16 and not going to back off of that at 25. He's kind of an auto bet. You know, anytime he's like 25 or 30, like I'll take him. And then I also bet Willett. I did bite on Paul Casey just because I 80 was a pretty good number. The ball striking, the couple events he played has been really good. He sucked at Travelers, but it was all putting. Still gain like three or four strokes approach, which is really all I care about with Paul Casey. But yeah, not too much action because I did bet some top 20s on some guys who we talked about already. Lucas Glover, you mentioned, very underpriced. I think Doc Redman is a better bet than a DK play because I mean, they priced him up quite a bit. He's mid sevens. And in a field like this, I think that's a little bit too much for him. So I just bet a top 20. And then I covered the top 20 on Willett and Bern Wiesberger.
Mm-hmm. Who's your bust? Here's my busto this week. Bryson.
Yeah, I mean,
2 weeks ago it was Bazundahood.
Yeah,
last week it was Brendan Wu.
You can't pick Brendan Wu as a bust.
Well, and also Matt Wolf, bust.
There you go. Yes, that was a good one. What? Yeah, I mean, what defines a bust for Bryson? Like,
miss cut.
He might finish. Okay. I don't think he's going to miss a cut, but he might finish like 12th, 15th.
Okay. That's about as well a miss cut for a guy placed at 11-1.
Yeah. Right. My bust, I'm going to try and pick someone who's
Daniel Berger.
No, I think, Rose would be an easy pick. I think Jason Day. He's now priced up in the 8,000 range in a much stronger field. And, you know, his ball striking was pretty good at Rocket Mortgage. It took a little bit of a downturn last week and he gained a ton in the short game. So that's something that, you know, I don't trust. And if he's going to be like 10 to 12% owned at $8,000, like he's been dead for 2 years.
Is Bones on the bag still?
Bones was with Fitz last week.
Bones is Fitz, excuse me. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I just don't think Jason Day can return any sort of value at that price and ownership.
Interesting. Who wins then? Say it. Let's agree
Justin
on it.
Thomas.
Shit, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Brooks was the bet, but if I have to pick one just to win, it's going to be Justin Thomas.
No, I don't think Justin Thomas can all of a sudden come back and win against this field. I just don't think so.
He won a major.
I understand that he's amazing. But I just feel like Brooks came back, he's going to play Memorial. is tired of Bryson, has got to prove that he's the big man on campus, is not going to let that go. He's going to really care a lot.
He's got a grouping that should make him care, right?
Yes, Tiger and JT. Rory. Yeah.
Yeah, Brooks also, you know, he may go under own this week. So I think that's another place. I mean,
bang, bang.
Yeah. He's going to be maybe 10%, 12%. Like, you can just quadruple that. What do you think Tiger's ownership is going to be, by the way? Like, you think he's going to be like 20%, or is it going to be less?
16.
Yeah, it's probably about right.
I think Cantlay's going to be 27.
Yeah, very well could be. Webb might go overlooked. DJ for sure is going to go overlooked, which is crazy because the last time we saw him, he was winning. So that's interesting.
It'll be Gary, Cantlay. Who else? Someone in the sevens.
Yeah, and Stroman could be popular again.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Casey is probably going to be the biggest chalk down there. 7,900.
Maybe, yeah. Poulter could probably be popular at 76. But yep. But Gary Woodland, Patrick Cantlay, hot topics.
Yeah.
Euro picks, Ryan. Let's bullshit our way through this tournament.
This is a shit show.
Yes. Golf Club at Bathville Friends, Wittmann, Hamsau, Austria. Location. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
This is Mike Miller's notes from Green Square Golf. Green Square Golf. Green Square dot golf. Form, course history, all tournaments, all tours, all players. Every week we do course notes from Mike's notes. I told him, I said, you need to do something a little more specific in your locations. So this course for the Euram Bank Open, Golf Club, Adam Stahl, Franz Wittmann, Ramsau, Austria. Location, 40-minute drive from McDonald's in St. Poulton. He did it.
Nicely done.
Architect, Jeff Howe, 1998. Very short, narrow, mountainous, alpine, heavy tree-lined plotters track, par 70, 6,400 yards. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
6,400 like yards in the mountains? That's like 5,000 yards.
Yeah, it's a complete pitch and putt. I assume they just can't hit many drivers out here, maybe a handful. But, yeah, short and narrow, hilly.
Fitness a factor, energy sapping, he said.
But we don't know who any of these people are, so.
No, it's Lauten and Arnaus, and I'm tired of saying those two names because they never win. But you've got your guy, Rickard Karlberg. You got Caitlin and Laporta. You got Højgaard again. And then what about Von Dellingshausen? Can we just make that our pick?
Yeah, he's another guy I believe could be very wrong on this, but I think he likes to hit the driver. He pounds it pretty far, so I'm not sure if that's the direction that I'm going to go here. You know,
he won here.
When?
2017.
Oh, I must have missed that. Either way, I stand by my claim. He was good last week too.
Okay, yes, he was. I have no, I mean, listen, this is poor European tour content. I'm going to have, it's a bad event. Caitlin, we were close on Sime not playing this week, or Connor Seam. I think that Karlberg, Caitlin, Van Dellingshausen, if you want to skip Lauten, Adrian Naus.
Yes.
Yes. You agree?
I was agreeing to, yes, I want to skip them.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I can't bet juice 5-1.
No, I totally agree.
I mean, Adri can't win. Yeah, I mean, John Caitlin is probably the one interesting one because we've seen him actually win events.
Yeah, he's good.
Like Asian Tour events, but this is about the same skill set. Still pretty short. Not betting Karlberg at 16. Not going to bet Gagli at 20. I started with Marcel Schneider,
who ran
close last week. Your guy, who you didn't mention, Bernd Ritthammer, he fits nicely here. Hits a bunch of fairways, hits a bunch of greens, and Germany's pretty close to Austria, so that's what we're going with. And then I took three long shots. We got Oliver Lindell at 100-1, Craig Howie, who was, I think, first round leader or close to it last week, and mm-hmm. kind of hung in there. 125-1, both challenge tour guys. And then Christopher Mivas, don't know how to say that. He's 150-1. I kind of liked him. He popped a little bit last week. And then when I looked at this great website, greensquaregolf.com.golf,
yep.
Mike Miller.
greensquaregolf.com.golf.
Mike Miller gave him a very good rating. So I think that was enough to put me over the edge. So hopefully one of them wins. If not, Juiced will probably win by six.
Yeah. I can't believe he said it's close to McDonald's. That's so funny. Here's the two I'm probably going to go with, Stalter and Lindell.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the guy that I'm going to believe that you're going to say way down the board that I know you're thinking about. I would say that Bore Virto is probably him, but it's not. It's Mathieu Fenassé from France, because you love French golfers.
Yeah, people bet him last week. Did Coley bet him? I know Rifo bet him. Sorry, Ryan. No, I actually, and I'm surprised that kind of you to mention it, because Coley wrote him up.
Yeah.
Your guy, Hurley Long, is here.
Yes. Yes.
And I mean, look, he's got to be, you know, middle of the pack, slightly above average for guys in this field. And he opened up at like 200-1. Like, why is he 200 when these guys are like 80 or 90 or 100? He can't be any worse than them.
Literally anyone on this board can win. Filippo Bergsmaci, he's here. He's probably 500-1. Benjamin Rush. There's a ton of any of these guys can win.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, half of this field I literally have not heard of. So
Henrik Sturehed can putt, by the way.
Yes, we love the Swedes. But yeah, I'm just going to kind of try and coast through this week, because we have British Masters and the 5-week UK swing that's coming up. So that'll be exciting.
All right.
Real golfers.
God, this field is tough. Nikolai van Dellinghausen is the freaking
Make sure
thing.
You bet Bern Riedhammer.
Pedro Figueiredo, your guy. You love Portuguese golfers.
Read Coley's article. He wrote about Pedro. That's all you have to see.
Just Ben Coley did?
He wrote a Pedro, but Pedro, he can't putt.
Who? No one on the European Tour can putt. Who is your guy that you absolutely love? Absolutely love. I don't think he's from Portugal. Well, you do love a Portugal golfer, but who is the guy that you absolutely love? He probably averages 250 off the tee. He's in his 40s, but he's a really good putter. It's going to drive me crazy.
In his 40s and a really good putter. That does not sound like somebody I would roster.
Short hitter. God, it's going to drive me crazy. I thought he's from Portugal, but he's not.
No, you'll come up with it.
Okay.
See ya.
All right, man. See ya. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Way long podcast. Real short close. Ready? Begin. This week, it's going to be one of four winners. Cantlay, Brooks, Rory. Perhaps Tiger Woods. On the Euro Tour, Caitlin, Van Dellinghausen, Schneider. Those are terrible picks. Someone asked me, what is your success rate with your Sunday, remind me Wednesday, this player's going to win picks? The success rate is 0%, much like everyone else on Twitter. There you go. But it's a lot of fun. I will talk to you at number 154.
Sean was on that gospel shit. I was on the total fucking opposite shit.
stuff $1 million in a sock drawer. That's a war chest in case you need your chest knocked off. Y'all be talking crazy under them IG pictures. So when you get the hell, you tell them Blanco sent you. I can't take no threats, I got a set of twins. Those were just some words you never hear again. For the final time, you don't believe these fools. I never seen a worker rock so many jewels. I never seen a runner with so many cars. Y'all couldn't stop me, you're not as tough as you say you are. My advice is just don't be too nice to niggas. Just set the price so niggas and live your life, my nigga. Once upon a time in the projects, Sean was in flight mode, I bought a Pyrex. I was in fight mode, oh now it's fuck me, mijo. I was moving them kilos, help you move your peoples. Sometimes you need your ego, gotta remind these fools who they effing with, but we got effers too. Before we had A&Rs, we had ARs too. We the only ones really moving like y'all say y'all do. We still moving like y'all niggas say y'all did. Emery passed you niggas and he did a bit. Ta-Ta jumped over niggas, he like 5'6". Got the heart of a giant, don't you ever forget. Don't you never forget, Jigga got this shit popping. I pulled out the pot when we was out of options.
Youngster no live in a tenement yard. Hood boy no live in a tenement yard. Too much watchy, watchy, watchy. Them so. Too much chatty, chatty,
fuck
chatty.
Fuck all this pretty Sean Carter shit, nigga, ho. Put that drum in your ear, don't get smirked. I Bobby Shmurda, anybody you heard of. Niggas could not be further. I father your style, birth of a nation, that Turner style. Y'all make me turn up all this talking down. Niggas are skipping leg day just to run their mouth. I be skipping leg day, I still run the world. I press the head of your team with one finger curl. I line you all up with one finger wave. Make niggas weave, niggas is out here fake. Lace front to the back, don't front. Y'all gon' make me wig, I'ma give y'all what y'all want.
Youngster no live in a tenement yard. Dreadlocks no live in a tenement yard. Too much watchy, 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 and them so. Too much chatty, 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 and them so. Can't you see it's my ambition? I come to nice up the whole nation. What a bam bam, Lord, I miss a what a bam bam. Do it, Jet. Can't you see it's my ambition? I come to nice up the whole nation. What a bam bam, what a bam bam. I don't give a goddamn, I don't give a goddamn. When me come a dance, I'm a spliff and Guinness. Your crowd of people go and mind your business. This a hunting season. Make I tell you hunting season. Well, I tell you something season. Yo, this a hunting season. Cake and dumpling season. Spinners and dumpling season. Don't play by the king. Love is all I know. Bringing up vice to the one pan, go to banking, tap ranking. Keep it skanking. Ooh-wee. Hear me now.